pray about it, to trust God's Holy Spirit to lead me in it, and to look at the verse above it, the verse below it, and determine what it's talking about. Because what it's talking about is something that's for the benefit of all men, all women. And when we come down to this particular verse in Isaiah 49:13, it's talking about a very joyous time that I'm looking forward to. It says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing. O mountains, the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted." Well, we're at war, and manner of speaking, our troops are in harm's way in Afghanistan and in Iraq. They can't make up their mind yet whether Yasser Arafat is dead or alive. Palestinian Authority is in chaos. Europe is in a mess. Everything's in a mess worldwide. So that certainly can't be talking about the current world situation. We've been going through this 49th chapter. We've covered verses 1 through 13. And in context, it can only mean one thing. It has to mean the time that Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation period with all the saints coming back with him that have been previously caught out. And he comes back with them, and he rules and reigns. The Mount of Olives is divided. He comes down on this earth. He restores the kingdom to Israel. Isaiah was writing to Israel, but he was also writing to us, to all believers. And he's going to establish a kingdom complex in Israel, a very large kingdom complex, and a city that has four sides, and each of the four sides is 8 miles long. This is the pattern you're going to see in Israel, and if you know Christ as your Savior, you're going to be here on this earth in a glorified body, and you're going to be looking in to this period of time, and you're going to be rejoicing with Israel, and you're going to be thanking God for the blessings that he's given you. And you're going to be glad that this present life is behind you. Now, I know if you're young and you're looking forward to meeting just the right boy or just the right girl, and looking forward to meeting that dream girl, that dream boy, and they all live happily ever after, and you're looking forward to a great full life ahead of you, I understand all that. But by the time you get my age, you really start to be interested in what's ahead. And this is ahead for all of us who know Christ. It's something we ought to think about a lot, because this is the description of the millennial reign of Christ. His description when all the saints will be here on earth with him, when Israel itself as a physical nation will be restored. Since 70 AD, the Israelites have been persecuted more than any other descendants of Shem. The latest atrocity being the 6 million that were killed in the Holocaust, the Nazi Holocaust. And even today, hatred of the Jews is on the rise across this planet. But the scriptures indicate that at the aid of this end of this long trail of affliction and death that the Israelites have suffered, the earth will break forth into singing when God comforts Israel, showing mercy upon them by ending their affliction. But Israel will not be the only people on this earth. They'll be here in physical bodies. But all the saved of all the earth will be here in glorified bodies. And those who have known Christ as Savior, who have looked forward to him either as the coming Messiah in the Old Testament or as the Messiah who came, has left, and is coming again, will be there. This is the description of it by Isaiah. "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the war. The Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted." It'll all be behind us. We've never known what it's like to have a perfect peace, not to have war, not to have trials, not to have trouble, not to have tribulation. And this is God's promise to us, and he will keep that promise. Israel's final affliction, and its greatest, will occur during the last 1,260 days of the tribulation period. I don't think that tribulation period is too far away. The events in the Middle East, the events in Europe, the events across the surface of this earth indicate that the tribulation period is not too far away from us. And when it will come suddenly and abruptly, and we'll be in the midst of worldwide turmoil and a confusion and a situation like we have never known before in the history of the world. Israel will flee into the Negev wilderness, For God will bring 1/3 of them through the tribulation period and deliver them as the Israelite remnant when Christ ends Armageddon. When he comes back at the end of the tribulation period, he'll end Armageddon. It'll be all over. That's the second advent. He'll establish his kingdom on this earth. He'll return in his parousia, his bodily presence, in all the glory of Almighty God, and he will rule and reign this earth from Jerusalem. All the saved of all the ages will be here with him. It'll be a time of tremendous rejoicing like man has never known in all of his history. And he's going to do that when he returns to end Armageddon, which is the final battle in the tribulation period of some 3.5 years. In Revelation 12 and 6, we're told that the woman, Israel, in the future, was going to flee into the wilderness. The wilderness into which she will flee is the Negev wilderness, which is all of Israel, south of Beersheba, down to Eilat, and roughly is almost half the size of the entire country. The land of Israel has always been defined as from Dan in the north to Beersheba. South of Beersheba, Israel owns all of that territory, which is almost half the size of all of Israel. And the woman fled in the wilderness where she had the place prepared of God. I don't think this is in the far distant future. I think this is probably going to happen in your lifetime, probably in mine, if I live long enough, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 1,260 days or 3.5 prophetic years. It's going to happen. You say, well, how do you know that? I believe the Bible. It's going to happen. Now, when it's going to happen, I confess that is based on opinion, based on what's happening there now. But I'm convinced that this is going to happen, and I would not be surprised if it didn't happen just before 2008. Zechariah 13 and 9. But what's he going to do with this Jewish remnant that he brings through? And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. This is the remnant that's going into the Negev, where God will protect them for some 3.5 prophetic years. And then at the end of it, at his second advent, he will return to the earth, and he will begin his millennial reign for 1,000 years. Luke 21:27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's what's known as the second advent. That is not what is known as the rapture. The rapture occurs before this. He judges all the saved in heaven. Then all of them are returned to earth. And at the end of the tribulation period, what is known as his second advent, he comes back to earth with all the saints, establishes his millennial kingdom. And this particular verse of scripture that we've been discussing will begin to be fulfilled in the millennial reign. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Ezekiel 39:22-29. This is the restoration of Israel, but it is also the return of all the saved of all the ages. It is a glorious kingdom on this earth over which Christ rules and reigns. All those who have had their faith in Christ, who have trusted him, will be on this earth in glorified bodies for 1,000 years, and then in a final heaven age that follows forever and ever. Ezekiel 39:22-29. So the house of Israel shall know that I, the Lord, their God, from that day forward, that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. He tells them in Zechariah, a prophet who never knew Ezekiel. Ezekiel prophesied in about 600 B.C. Zechariah prophesied in about 450 B.C. They never knew each other, yet they said the same thing. Zechariah indicated, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Ezekiel put it a little different way. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. And the heathen, the Gentiles, all the others, non-Jews, shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they trespassed from them. He's hidden his face from them for almost 2,000 years and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they by the sword. They're the most persecuted and prosecuted people on the surface of the earth. They have been hated, despised by many different groups, by many different Gentiles, by many different non-Jews. They have been butchered and killed by the millions. There were 6 million alone killed in the Nazi Holocaust that occurred during World War II. But God's going to restore them. They are his people, just as those who put their faith in Jesus are his people. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. God's not going to hide his face forever. And they're going through a terrible time of tribulation. At the end of that time of tribulation, God's going to reveal his face against to them And they are going to be a kingdom on this earth, a material, physical kingdom. But we ourselves will be in a glorified kingdom, in glorified bodies, and Jesus will reign over the kingdom. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob. He said, he's been in captivity to the Gentiles. Now I'm going to capture him again, bring him back to me, and then here's what I'm going to do. And have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that, they have borne their shame. They have borne their shame for rejecting God's Son, the Messiah, for 2,000 years. That time is rapidly approaching an end. And when that time ends and the tribulation period is finished, God will once again bring them into his own captivity, and they will be his people forever. And that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses, whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and he has brought them back into Israel, but the greatest, most massive regathering of Israel is still future. At the present time, there are over 13 million Jews on the surface of this earth. Just over 5 million of them, 6 million perhaps, are in Israel. The rest of them, the vast bulk and majority, are scattered around this earth, and during the early phases of the millennial reign, that's when you're going to see the greatest regathering. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and am sanctified, set apart in them in the sight of many nations. When all the nations see what God's Son is going to do to those who persecuted Israel. When all the nations see the tribulation that's coming on this earth. When they pass through it, what few make it through. They're going to recognize that God only forsook Israel until it was time for him to come back. And I'm living in the age and time when I thank God that I was born in the time where, as a Gentile, I can come to the same Jesus who is the living Son of God that was promised in Genesis 3:15. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them into their own land and have left none of them any more there. At the present time, more than half of all the Jews on this earth are not in Israel. But in the millennial reign, during this period of time, what survived the tribulation period are going to be regathered, and they will be in Israel singing this song. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and they will have mercy upon his afflicted. Isaiah 49:13. This time is coming. It's in the not too far distant future. And whatever you intend to do with the Lord, for the Lord, or about the Lord, in the person of Jesus Christ, you had better decide soon. Because even if you got to live a full normal life, I don't think those of you that are sitting here that are young are going to go into the rest of your life here. I believe the Lord is coming before long, and I believe when he comes, you had better be ready. You better have your faith in Jesus. Neither will I hide my face any more from them. For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Many of these things that he's stating are specifically stated to Israel. But because we will be here as God's children, sanctified saints set apart by the blood of Christ, we will be here in glorified bodies, and we will reign with him on this earth. He will be our king, a king of a spiritual kingdom, and he will also be the king of a literal material kingdom made up of Israel. Now, we've been discussing Isaiah 49:13. So we're going to continue, still in context, having already last Sunday talked about Isaiah 49:12. Isaiah 49:13, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Now let's look at the next verse, because it's for the same time period. But Zion saith, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Israel believes she has been rejected by God. Israel cannot understand why she has undergone such persecution. She has known no peace for 2,000 years. Soon she will know a period of peace and safety that will be short-lived. But for 2,000 years, she has been the most persecuted and hated people on the surface of God's earth. For almost 2,000 years, the Jews themselves have sought to understand why it seems the God of Israel seems to forsake them in the face of persecution from their many enemies, some 6 million having been slaughtered in the Nazi Holocaust. Israel has wandered as a people in spiritual darkness since 70 A.D. That's about the end. I know that preachers have said the Lord is coming for a long time, and I know it's been almost 2,000 years since he made that promise. But that's another good reason to believe that his coming is very soon. But Zion said, the nation of Israel, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Romans 11:25. That's going to change. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. How long was it supposed to last? It began when Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest and stonest the prophets, and them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee under my wings, as a mother hen gathereth her chicks, and ye would not. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And it was left spiritually desolate. They have been a spiritually blind people for almost 2,000 years. They have been persecuted and hated. That will not last forever. He says, but I would not, brethren, members of the church at Rome, I would not, Christian brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's verse 25. Now let's look at Romans 11:32, and it follows. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. God has mercy on all those who are willing to come to him and accept his Son as Savior. Soon the veil they have placed over their own eyes and hearts will be lifted, and they will be restored at the second advent of their Messiah. I'm saved. I was saved 60 years ago. I was saved by the blood of Christ. I was made whole by the sacrifice of Jesus. He took all my sins in his own body on the tree. He set me free from the condemnation of God. I have been passed from death unto life. My total faith is in Jesus Christ and his blood and his righteousness and his offering for my sin. I have no other righteousness except that which he imputed to me. I am covered by no other blood than the blood of Jesus. I am saved by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, a spiritual workmanship by the new birth. For we are his workmanship. What is the new birth? Created in Christ Jesus. That's God's work. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I do not do good works to be saved or to stay saved. I do what I do by the Spirit of Christ that indwells me, and I do it because I love him, not because I believe it's going to add anything to my righteousness, because I have no righteousness except that imputed to me by Christ. I have no other covering for my sins other than the blood of Christ. I have no salvation except that which is in Jesus. I have no other Savior except Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:15-17. That veil is going to be lifted. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, he had to cover his face with a veil because his countenance, his face, was so bright. That veil is still on their hearts. Every time they read the New Testament, they reject it. They will not receive it. They have put the veil there themselves. But the day will come when that veil will be lifted. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, it will turn to the Lord in the Negev wilderness during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I'm set free in Jesus. I know the truth. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I have been set free. I have liberty. I can misuse that liberty, but I will never be separated from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I've been set free to serve God. I have a choice now. Do I want to serve him or not? But it is a choice that must be based on love. If I continue to serve God because I am afraid of eternal damnation in hell, I do not believe I have been passed from life unto death. My confidence is not in God, not in Christ, but in myself. I thank God that good works are supposed to be produced in you by the leadership of the indwelling Spirit of Christ, which you received as his spiritual workmanship when you realized that salvation was by grace and not by works. Isaiah 49:14-15. We've already covered 14. Now let's look at 15. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. That's about to change. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? He says, can a woman forget a child that she's born, a son, a daughter? Can she forget a sucking child, a child that she carried in her womb for 9 months, a child that she fed on her breast? Do you think she can forget that child? He said, I can't forget Israel. I won't forsake them. He said, neither can a mother that loves her child. Yea, they may forget, and they have. Yet will I not forget thee. Messiah has not utterly forsaken Israel. He tried to gather them into the kingdom by having them receive him as the King Messiah, but they refused. So at that time, he made the temple spiritually desolate. God has not accepted any more of the sacrifices they have offered since his Son offered himself for their sins. Only those Jews who have accepted Messiah as the living sacrifice for their sins have been received as his children. You can't go to heaven any other way except through Jesus. And you can't go to heaven any other way than through his blood. You can't go to heaven any other way except through his life and his works. Jesus is the door, the entrance into heaven, and it is his sacrifice and his offering of the only perfect man who ever lived that allowed God to be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus, because Jesus, when he died, took the sins of all believers in his own body on the tree. But he made it clear, very clear, shortly before he was arrested and crucified, that he would one day return and restore the nation to greatness. When they received him as the Blessed One, coming from their God and their King. This is what he said. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The spiritual house of Israel has been left desolate for almost 2,000 years. But he's coming back. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You better start thinking about his coming, because his coming has been in the making for some 2,000 years. And it's time for that coming. What does God want you to do? Kiss the Son. What does that mean? When you came to a man's house, if you did not take his son and kiss him on one cheek and kiss him on the other, you dishonored the father, his father. You dishonored the house that his father owned, because you did not honor the son. You must honor the son, or you are incorrect in your actions toward the father. Jesus said in John 5:41, I receive not honor from men. I receive not honor from men. Two verses above that, he told the scribes and Pharisees, he said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which speak of me. The scribes and the Pharisees were very religious. They desperately tried to keep the law of Moses. They believed the Messiah was coming. But they didn't look upon the Messiah as someone who was coming to save their souls. They looked upon the Messiah who was coming to establish them as rulers and kings over the earth in their own carnal condition. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's John 5:39. Now let's go down two verses, back to 5:41. Jesus said, I receive not honor from men. So how do you kiss the Son? Let's look at the verse in between. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. You do not honor the Father. You are not acceptable to God unless you honor the Son. And you've got to come to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and put your faith in him and him alone to eternally deliver you from the damnation in hell that awaits every man and woman who refuses to do so. If you want to be passed from death unto life, I can't do it. I couldn't pass myself from death unto life. If you want to be removed from the condemnation of God, you can't do it yourself. I couldn't remove myself from the condemnation of God. But if you want to be removed from the condemnation of God, if you want eternal life, if you don't want God's wrath poured out on you, then here's what you need to do. You need to come to Jesus and trust Jesus, who's alive in heaven and died for your sins, to save you from eternal damnation, to pass you from death unto life, to forgive you of all your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and to impute his righteousness to you. What's that called? Faith in Jesus. What's it called? Trust in Jesus. You want to be happy? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. believe in the Son. Trust in Him. Put faith in Him. Trust, faith, belief are all the same. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, lest He perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. You want to be passed from the wrath of God? You want to never suffer it? You want an eternal life in heaven? You want to escape the damnation of hell? Then put your trust in Jesus Christ, who is the Son. That's the only way. You say, well, how much faith do I have to have? You have to believe that you are under the condemnation of God. And the Bible indicates, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You say, well, how do I put my faith? How do I believe? How do I trust? Well, first of all, you have to recognize that you're sinful. We all are. And you have to recognize you need a Savior. And then you have to recognize that Jesus is the only Savior there is. And then God asks you to have this much faith. Pray to Him and ask Him to save you. You say, well, how's that a measure of faith? Would you pray to a dead man? Would you pray and ask someone who was in a grave to deliver you? Would you pray and ask someone who had no power to save you? If you believe He's the living Son of God, if you believe He died on the cross for your sins, and you believe He's alive, when you call upon His name, He saves you. That's when you put your trust in. You say, it can't be that simple. It has to be that simple, because we were incapable of saving ourselves, and only God could do it. And the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. You want to be saved this morning? It's between you and the Lord. It's not between you and me and you and the church and you and baptism. It's between you and the Lord. If you want to be saved, you can be saved right where you're sitting by going to this Jesus, who you believe is who He claimed to be, and asking Him to save your soul. I'm hoping in this silent moment of prayer that we're about to have, that if you want Him as Savior, He wants you as His child. You have but to ask, realizing you need a Savior, and that He will save you by His promise, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, Your Spirit alone knows the hearts of those that are here. If Your Spirit has touched heart or hearts, my prayer is, Lord, they'll realize that You are the God of promise, and that what You have promised them, because they have asked, they have received. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for His sake. Amen. As the song leader